Welcome to Anesthesia, the podcast from the Royal College of Anesthetists. My name is Ahmed Al-Hudaybi, and I'm a consultant anesthetist and a member of the Portfolio Assessment Group. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Sue Welwyn, who has a long-standing involvement in education, whose roles including college tutor, TBD, and currently lead regional advisor and chair of the DRG. So we're talking about a special interest area, and this is part of a mini-series focusing on the portfolio pathway. Sue, thanks for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me.
If I would like to choose or to follow the portfolio pathway route, how many special interest areas I will need to, and how would I choose them?
Specialist interest areas are very variable, and you can see the lists if you go on to either the college website or you consult the GMC appendix, looking specifically at how you develop yourself. It's a personal development journey so that you can get to the level of a consultant and have the knowledge, skills, and experience of a consultant within modern day NHS. The duration will depend on the actual topics that you choose or the areas that you choose, but some of them, like the ones in Group 1, can be up to a year. So if you're going to do cardiac or neuro or peds, then you probably want to spend a year. Now, we know that people have got previous experience, and so a year might be too much. It might not be time-related, but rather looking at your output. The evidence is really important because this is what is assessed when your application is transferred to the college from the GMC. And really what we're looking for is not just your logbook evidence that shows that you are either supervision level 3 or 4, but also looking at, you know, have you been involved in QI? What kind of improvement have you done? Have you been involved in management? You know, have you looked at the rota, or have you looked at improvement policies, things that both involve management and QI? And what kind of teaching have you done? Because really, these are the kind of things that if you were looking at an employer and asking an employer what they would look for in a new consultant, that's exactly what they would look for. They don't want just the person who can do the numbers. Obviously, that's really important. And we know with the current NHS that that's really important. But it's more, can you be part of the consultant body and develop the service as a whole?
So would my previous experience be taken into account if I have a good experience overseas or in another job? Do you think it can be taken into account and can be provided?
Yes, it can be. It depends on the evidence that you have and the level of that experience. And it also depends on which of the groups that you've chosen, which of the areas within the groups. So if, for instance, you've chosen something like, say, general, and you're going to do 6 months or 3 months in general or equivalent, it's likely that overseas evidence can be assessed and appraised and included. Just remember, if you do have overseas evidence, that it needs to be of a standard that is the same as if it was somebody completing their specialist interest areas within the UK. It's always useful to have both, because then given that you would be functioning as an NHS consultant, it's important that you are able to be part of the system and have an understanding of the system, as well as looking at your future prospects. You know, do you have an opportunity to do your specialist interest and then perhaps be employed within a trust that you're doing your specialist interest area placement in?
Yeah, that's a great answer. And this takes me to the next question. Can I undertake my SIA in a DGH hospital?
So yes, I mean, a lot of portfolio pathway applicants are currently employed in a DGH hospital. And depending on the size of your DGH hospital, you may well satisfy the requirements for your SIA. There's certain things that you may need placements in a tertiary hospital for. So for instance, if you're doing an SIA in obstetrics, you won't get the cardiac patients and you may not get the more complicated patients in a DGH, but you can certainly get that evidence in a tertiary hospital. There's certain things within an SIA, and we've spoken about this before, things like quality improvement and management, which you may well be able to satisfy within a DGH.
I totally agree for that, to be honest, because I always get asked the same question by many of the locally employed anesthetists. So somebody always asks me if I'm a significant portion of my job plan in a particular area, such on calls in obstetrics or intensive care, can this be considered my SIA? And all answers the same. Well, it's not just about the clinical work, but also other non-clinical work. As you said earlier, the teaching, the management, involvement in a quality improvement.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's a breadth, isn't it? It's a breadth of experience and knowledge that you're presenting. Absolutely.
One more question. For consultants looking to support the portfolio pathway applicants by organizing an SIA within their trust, what do you think the key factors should be considered?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because I think that it's so hard to do this on your own. You need the support. You need the people behind you who have the knowledge. And as that's been mentioned in other podcasts, you need somebody who can supervise you, who knows the goals and the time frames. And you need an understanding within the department so that people will actually say, okay, well, you're doing a solo list. We know that you do a lot of service provision, but why don't we do this as a, as an SLE, as a supervised learning event, so that you can get something out of it. There is always a way, even if you are working solo or doing a lot of service provision, where you can get somebody who is willing to support you, to provide you with that evidence. Likewise, with a quality improvement opportunity. And sometimes that takes grabbing the opportunities. You know, you've got to grab it and decide, this is my journey. I'm going to get to the end. And I really want to either do something locally. And that's about approaching people and asking, always asking and saying yes to anything. No, I don't mean it quite like that, but, you know, yes to those opportunities that provide you with what you need to progress. Or think about distant things. So for instance, going as an honorary member of a department to a tertiary hospital, or organizing a placement, because that's the way that applicants will progress. But ultimately, as a consultant, you need to have the knowledge and the understanding so that you can give these individuals and facilitate their own development.
So just, do you have anything you would like to add regarding the selection and organization of evidence for an SIA?
It's a huge task of organization, isn't it? You know, the whole application takes many, many months, if not years. So the SIA is a really important part, because it's what's going to direct your future job opportunities, really. So deciding on what your SIA might be, really, it depends on your interest, you know, what you're really interested in. Because if you do an SIA that you think is easy to do, but you're not interested in, that's not going to help you from a personal development point of view. And it may not also help your future prospects. If you're not passionate about something, then you won't put your all in. And also about local opportunities and local support, because if you don't have the local support, it's going to be so much harder to choose and to complete your special interest areas. As far as the organization is concerned, we've discussed this before in the podcast, but put yourself in the feet of the assessor. Is it easy to find? Have you got everything there? Are the links clear? All of those things make it's so much easier for the assessor to actually look at your evidence and appraise it appropriately.
Thank you so much, Sue. And thanks to you all for listening. Please subscribe to the Anesthesia On Air to catch the rest of this Portfolio Pathway miniseries and loads of other podcasts and useful links. And make sure you review us whilst you are there.